Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, January 30th, 2025, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ controls history. In the United States of America, as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy in our nation, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. In the satanic attack on Israel and the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, for the principle that as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And therefore, sir, what we do this evening and what we do five times a week is more important than the air that we breathe. And as we assemble to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have an update from Rich Blair on the Las Ventanas Senior Center. Heaven Special Lesson Number 7 on Wednesday, January 29th, went well. Before we got started, a regular named Nancy had a prayer request. She asked everyone to pray for her friend, Wendy, who had a brain seizure and is undergoing treatment. We included her request in the closing prayer. We began the lesson by reading the purple booklet. You know all about the purple booklet. We read it aloud. Everyone followed along. What better way to precede a lesson about heaven than by ensuring everyone understands the simple gospel message of salvation? To follow along, several of them pulled out the copy they received at the first lesson. In this lesson, Pastor Olson explained how we are strangers here on earth because our real home is in heaven, using Abraham as the example. The supporting passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, describes how Abraham lived in a tent because his focus was on his eternal home. This is an awesome principle. And God the Holy Spirit is clearly blessing those in attendance. Your prayers are appreciated as God continues to bless this ministry at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. All right, a new book. And it has 15 chapters. Doesn't even have 15 verses, let alone 15 chapters. Second John. Now, ever since I've been here, I established a protocol for introducing a new book. So we will go through the protocol. The protocol always starts out with number one, title. You say, well, I know the title. Second John. The title in the Greek is Ioannou Beta. Aha, caught you, see? You were so smug. That's how it looks in the Greek. Ioannou Beta. Second John. The title is from the author, the Apostle John, and the fact that this is his second letter. Point two in the protocol is the author. Now, the Apostle, first of all, we'll put... One, the author is the Apostle John. However, no author is mentioned in the text. The author is the Apostle John, but there's no author mentioned in the text. Two, even though no author is mentioned in the text, the ancient church and the church fathers ascribed this letter to the Apostle John, including Irenaeus and Clement of Alexander and Dionysius of Alexandria. These were three of the church fathers who ascribed this letter to the Apostle John. Three, the language, the style, the vocabulary all point to the Apostle John. We're going to have the same words that were his favorite in 1 John. He's still using the same vocabulary in 2 John and the same vocabulary in 3 John. Four, 2 John is very similar to the Gospel of John and 1 John in content, in language, in style, and in vocabulary. 2 John is very similar to the Gospel of John, 1 John, and 1 John in content, language, style, and vocabulary. Five, subpoint five. In subpoint five, we're going to take a look at the Apostle John in more detail. First of all, he is the son of Zebedee, a Galilean fisherman. Mark 1, verses 16 to 20, Matthew 4, verse 21. The son of Zebedee. His mother was probably Salome. Mark 15:40, Mark 16:1, Matthew 20:20, Matthew 27:56. His mother was probably Salome. Third, he was in the fishing business along with his father. Mark 1:20. Fourth, his brother James was executed by Herod. Mark 3:17 and Acts 12, verse 2. So he had a brother James, but he was executed by Herod. Fifth, John and his brother were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. Mark 3:17. Nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. Sixth, he was called to be a disciple in Matthew 4:21. He was called to be a disciple in Matthew 4:21. Seven, he had the spiritual gift of apostleship. He had more than that. Just as the Apostle Paul had about five different spiritual gifts. And John had more than one as well. He not only had the gift of apostleship, he had the gift of pastor-teacher as well. And we're going to see that as we start the exegesis in 2 John. But he had the gift of apostleship, Acts 1, 13 and 26, Acts 8, 14 to 19, and Galatians 2, 7 through 9. Eighth, John was selected to be with Christ at three very special events. John was selected to be with Christ at three very special events. First of all, for the raising of Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, 35 to 42. The raising of Jairus' daughter. Mark 5, 35 to 42. Secondly, he was selected to be at the Transfiguration. Mark 9, 2. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. He was at the Transfiguration, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave a preview of what was going to happen when he comes back the second time. And then third, he was selected to be at the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14:33, Luke 22:40 and following. So John was selected to be with Christ at these three very special events. Nine, John and Peter were the disciples chosen to prepare the last Passover. John and Peter were the disciples chosen to prepare the last Passover, Luke 22, verse 8. Ten, the Lord Jesus Christ, at his crucifixion, entrusted the Apostle John to take care of his mother, Mary, John 19, 26, and 27. This was a very, very special honor. And this 11 tells you why John was chosen over all the rest. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved the apostle John. He loved to be with him. He loved to talk to him. He loved to go to dinner with him. John got everything that Jesus Christ was teaching. He nailed it. John nailed it. And so John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 13, 25, John 21, 7 and 20, John 19, 25 to 27. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ chose John to take care of Mary. 12. John is named in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's name is found again and again and again. But he is never mentioned in the Gospel of John. He never mentioned his own name. He never used his name in the Gospel of John, and he never uses his name in 1 John. He never uses his name in 2 John. He never uses his name in 3 John. John continued as a great leader of the early church. Acts 4, 13 to 23. Acts 8, 14. Galatians 2, 9. He lived a long life. And he was the leader. The Apostle Paul was executed under Nero's reign. He went to heaven early. The Apostle John continued the ministry for a long time. So, 14. John is the author of 5 New Testament books. He's the author of 5 New Testament books. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. 15. History says he went to Ephesus after the death of the Apostle Paul. And John carried on a long ministry there in Ephesus. He was exiled to the island of Patmos, and from there wrote Revelation. He was exiled to Patmos under the Roman Emperor Domitian. And Domitian ruled from A.D. 81 to 96. He is said to have returned under the reign of Nerva, who ruled from 96 to 98 A.D. And he died at an old age in Ephesus during the reign of Trajan, who ruled from 98 to 117 A.D. So all that in our protocol is under number 2, author. Number 3 in our protocol is the date. And the date is circa AD 85 to 100. AD 85 to 100. We really do not know the exact date, except that it was written late in his life. And this is from the general time and thrust of the letter. Number four in our protocol is dispensation, and the dispensation is the church age. Number five in our protocol is history. The recipients of 2 John include a Christian lady, a magnificent, honorable Christian lady who has been called Curia, a very unique title given to this lady. Her name was actually Nympha, but John, the Apostle John, called her Curia, only used two times in the Word of God, both times by John, both times for this magnificent, honorable lady. So the recipients of 2 John include a Christian lady called Curia, who was very well known and loved, and her actual name was Nympha. Her children were also the recipients of this epistle, verse 1. And she also had a sister whose children were with John when he wrote. Both women are spiritually mature believers. They are great spiritually mature believers. But only one is called Curia by the Apostle John. This special title. And that goes to Nympha. Point six in our protocol, the theme of the book. And the theme of the book is to live your life in virtue love. Live your life in virtue love. That's the theme of the book. Seven in our protocol, major doctrines. Major doctrines include humility, God's mandates, virtue love, and false teachers. Humility, God's mandates, virtue love, and false teachers. Eight in our protocol is the outline. And the outline, four parts. First of all, prologue. And that's verses 1 through 3. Prologue, verses 1 through 3. Secondly, virtue love, verses 4 through 6. Virtue love, verses 4 through 6. Third, warning. Beware of false teachers, verses 7 through 11. Warning, beware of false teachers. And Satan has a strategy at this time in history, and it was called Gnosticism, the Gnostics. And the leader of it was named Cerinthus. And Cerinthus was actually in John's church, but he got thrown out. John threw him out of the church, threw him out of the congregation for his communicating false doctrine, false teaching. He threw him out. He had already led many, many people into Satan's cosmic system. That was one of the great counterattacks of Satan in the ancient world, and it's still going today. Gnosticism is still here today under different names. It's one of his great attacks on the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then fourth, that one, did I give you the verses? No? Okay, 7 through 11. Warning concerning false teachers, verses 7 through 11. Then fourth, well, number one was prologue. Number four is epilogue, verses 12 and 13. All right. Prologue, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1. The elder, and this is a terrible translation, elder. For the Greek word here, I hate the word elder. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. This is the nominative singular of presbyteros with the definite article, plus the dative singular of kuria, modified by the dative singular adjective eklektos, plus the conjunction kai with the dative plural of technon, with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos. So that first word, elder, not elder. It's presbyteros. P-R-E-S-B. U-T-E-R-O-S. Now notice how he starts this epistle. He's an apostle. He could have started, ha, apostolos. Now if he starts that way, he is asserting his apostolic authority, kind of throwing his rank around, I'm an apostle. He doesn't do that. He is an apostle, but he doesn't do that. He starts it, ha presbyteros. He also has the gift of pastor teacher. So he doesn't throw his rank around. He doesn't have to assert his apostolic authority. He starts out this with recognizing his spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Presbyteros is not used for the gift of apostleship. It's used for the gift of pastor teacher. So here we have the gift of pastor-teacher. John is an apostle, and John is a pastor-teacher. So presbyteros, let's get a few things on presbyteros. One, presbyteros means the old man. You go, ah. Pastor Olson is a presbyteros because he's really old. No, it doesn't mean it that way. You could be 30 and be the old man. The old man, well, it means the one who has the highest authority in a local church. Highest authority. It means a commander. It means a commanding officer. So the presbyteros is the old man in the sense of being the highest authority in the local church, a commander, the commanding officer in the local church. Two, presbyteros emphasizes the authority of the pastor. Presbyteros emphasizes the authority of the pastor. Three, presbyteros is how the Apostle John describes himself as the author of 2 John and also when we get to 3 John as the author of 3 John. So presbyteros is how the Apostle John describes himself as the author of 2 John and the author of 3 John. 4. John is not only an apostle, he is also a pastor teacher of a local church. He is also a pastor teacher of a local church. So 5. He is not asserting his apostolic authority. He could have. He doesn't say, ha, apostolos. He could have. But he's not asserting his apostolic authority. He says, ha, presbyteros. In other words, John is not throwing around his rank as an apostle. He's not throwing around his rank as an apostle. And that's because of the fantastic recipients of 2 John and 3 John. He doesn't have to. He is writing to winner believers, spiritually mature believers, believers who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Now, Corinth was just the opposite. Corinth, he had to throw his weight around all over for all throughout 1 Corinthians. They were still baby believers. Nobody had attained spiritual maturity. Nobody had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They invented every category of reversionism there was. So Paul had to throw his weight around when he wrote to the Corinthians. But John doesn't have to. So 6, John is a pastor teacher of a local church as well as an apostle. 7, every local church has only one presbyteros. Every local church has only one presbyteros. Only one commander. Only one commanding officer. Not two, not three. There's no such thing as plurality of elders. 8. Not only did the Apostle John call himself a presbyteros in 2 John and in 3 John, so also did the Apostle Peter call himself presbyteros. He also had not only the gift of apostleship, Peter also had the gift of pastor teacher. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 5. So turn over to 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1. So not only did John have, he had at least 2, probably John had more spiritual gifts than that. He may have had as many as Paul had. But he had apostleship, pastor, teacher. Peter had apostleship, pastor, teacher. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Peter writes, therefore, I exhort the elders. And the word there is not elders, it's presbyteroi in the plural. You put it in the plural, you got an iota on the end. Presbyteroi. In other words, there were lots of pastor teachers he was writing this to. I exhort the pastor teachers, presbyteroi, among you, as a fellow presbyteros I am also a presbyteros. There are a lot of pastor teachers I'm writing this to, and I am also a pastor teacher, a fellow presbyteros, a fellow pastor teacher, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Now, the Apostle John is also Pastor Teacher John. And there are many terms, several terms in the Bible for the spiritual gift of Pastor Teacher. And you should know all of these terms for the spiritual gift of Pastor Teacher. So besides presbyteros, and we've looked at that one, another term for the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is poimen didaskalos. P-O-I-M-E-N D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Poimen didaskalos, pastor teacher, PT. And a lot of you use that term, PT. When I was at Bethany Bible Church and Ron Breckel was the pastor, he was the pastor there, fantastic pastor. Even Colonel Thieme recognized that Pastor Breckel was doing the best job of any pastor in America. And he had me go and tell, you tell him that for me. He's doing the best job of any pastor. Well, Ron was teaching spiritual gifts. And he was teaching the gift of pastor teacher, and he started hearing all of the kids in the church and all these guys going, oh, I'm PT, I'm PT, I got the gift of PT, I'm PT. When I was staying with some other fellows at Will Rue Apartments near the end of my 4 years. And we're sitting around the table, and you know, I one of them said, "Oh, we're studying spiritual. I have the gift of celibacy." And the other guy said, "I think I have the gift of celibacy too." And they looked at me, and I go, "I sure as hell don't have the gift of celibacy. I know that. Thing is, both of these guys got married before I did, and I wonder if they told their wife, I have the gift of celibacy. You know, that doesn't work too well." But everybody was thought, all the males thought they all had the gift of PT. I'm PT. Well, it got to Ron. Ron says, you know, one of the problems a pastor has in communicating the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures, you all out there, especially when we're studying something like spiritual gift, you all, whatever I'm teaching, you think you have it. He says, and I hear so many of you have the gift of PT. Well, I'll tell you what that means for many of you. It means you're potty trained. That's what it means. You have the gift of being potty trained. You don't. Many of you do not have the gift of PT. I said, well, there's a whole bunch have the gift of celibacy, though, right? No, I didn't jump up and say that. Pastor, teacher, poimen didaskalos. Now, where does this term for the pastor, where does it come from? Well, turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It was He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the initial gift. It was He who gave some to be apostles. That was a temporary spiritual gift. Some to be prophets. That was also a temporary spiritual gift. There are no apostles today. There are no prophets today. That was the pre-canon period of the church age. We're living in the post-canon period of the church age. Some to be evangelists. That's a permanent spiritual gift. We have evangelists today. And some to be pastor. Now, you might have pastors and teachers. Wrong. What we have here is the Granville Sharp Rule of Grammar. The Granville Sharp Rule of Grammar. Let me show you exactly what this says in the Greek. We have tous, that's a definite article in the accusative case. And then we have poimenos, that's poimen, the noun poimen in the accusative case. And then we have the conjunction kai. And then we have didaskalos, that's didaskalos in the accusative case. That's exactly how it looks in the Koine Greek. Tous poimenos kai didaskalos. Now, the Granville Sharp Rule of Grammar is when you have two nouns in the same case, this is accusative, this is accusative. Poimen and didaskalos in the accusative case. Two nouns in the same case, connected by chi. The first noun has the definite article, tous. The second noun does not. You don't have two gifts here. It isn't the gift of pastor and the gift of teacher. That's not what this is. This is one gift. One gift. That is the Granville Sharp Rule of Grammar. One gift. So it's not two gifts. It's not a gift of pastor and a gift of teacher. It's one gift. Pastor-teacher. Tous poimenos kai didaskalos. The Granville Sharp Rule of Grammar. So that's what we have here in Ephesians 4. Not pastors and teachers, but some to be pastor-teachers. For what? The last gift is then amplified. What is the gift of pastor, teacher? What's its objective? To equip, prepare to equip God's people. To equip God's people. That's the gift of pastor, teacher. For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, edification, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God and become teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Mature believers, spiritually mature believers. That's what the gift of pastor teacher is for. To teach you the God-breathed scriptures so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity. Become teleos believers, spiritually mature believers. So they become teleos, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's a beautiful passage on spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, and its number one objective. Now, the pastor is the under-shepherd. Poimen means shepherd. So let's go back here. Poimen means shepherd. P-O-I-M-E, long E-N. Poimen is the Greek word for shepherd. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 10:11, and horribly translated, the good shepherd. It doesn't say the good shepherd. Let me show you what the good shepherd would look like. Agathos, poimen. If he was the good shepherd, he would be Agathos, poimen. We don't have Agathos. Agathos isn't there at all. So it's not good shepherd. It's kalos. Poimen. Yeah, there you go. Kalos. K-A-L-O-S. P-O-I-M. Long E-N. Kalos. Poimen. Kalos isn't the word for good. It's the word for honorable. Honorable, noble, that's kalos. Agathos is the word for good. We don't have agathos. In John 10:11, Jesus Christ is the noble shepherd, the honorable shepherd, John 10:11. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. So Jesus Christ is the noble shepherd, the chief shepherd, but the pastor is the under-shepherd. The under-shepherd who has authority over a flock of the Lord's sheep. A specific congregation. The pastor leads the sheep to green pastures and feeds the sheep Bible doctrine. That's poimen. That's the first part of the word in this phrase for a pastor, poimen didaskalos. And then we have didaskalos. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Didaskalos. And didaskalos means teacher. And this is how the shepherd, the pastor, feeds the sheep. He feeds the sheep by teaching them the Word of God, the God-breathed Scriptures, by teaching them the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So, presbyteros is the word for pastor that the Apostle John used in introducing 2 John and introducing himself. He did not assert his apostolic authority, but the fact that he has the gift of pastor as well. And then there's poimen didaskalos, and then there's also another word for the pastor, and that's episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Episkopos, great word, episkopos. Episkopos means the guardian of the flock, the guardian of the sheep. You'll sometimes see it translated overseer. It means guardian, it means supervisor, it means superintendent, it means policymaker. All of these things are included in episkopos. The pastor is the guardian of the local church. He's the overseer of the local church. He's the supervisor of the local church. He's the superintendent of the local church. He's the policy maker of the local church. Through faithful communication of the Word of God, the pastor becomes the guardian, the episkopos, the guardian of the congregation, in the sense that he is the chief policy maker for the local church. And his policy making is based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. The pastor's function is to establish policy based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. So he is the guardian, the supervisor, superintendent, policymaker, episkopos. And another word for the pastor is diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. Diakonos. Now this Koine Greek word diakonos was originally used for those who waited on tables and served food. The pastor served the food of the Word of God to the congregation. When diakonos is translated, not transliterated, when it's translated, it refers to the pastor and is correctly translated minister. Colossians 1:7, Colossians 4:7. So when it's translated, it refers to the pastor and is correctly translated minister. However, when it's transliterated deacon, it refers to those with the gifts of administration, the deacons of a local church. And a local church has a pastor, one, and the local church has administration, deacons. And I have been blessed with the most fantastic deacons in the time that I have been here at Upland Bible Church. Absolutely fantastic deacons. When I started out, when I first came here, they were men in the military, and they made great deacons. The only problem was Uncle Sam moved them all over the country and all over the world. Well, I never kept those deacons very long. As soon as Uncle Sam said, move out, they moved out. So they were great, great deacons, but they weren't here for very long, and they had to move to another geographical area. But I have right now three of the absolutely fantastic deacons right now. They have the gifts of administration, and you, none of you, most of you, some, maybe a couple of you do, most of you haven't got a clue at the time, the effort, the work that they do so that I can do my job of studying and teaching and studying and teaching and feeding the sheep. But we had the three. I mean, you had the three of them up here for the congregational meeting. And I know some of you thought it was the three tenors coming up. And they were going to sing a song. But, oh, there's a couple that can sing. That would have been all right, but I don't know, there's no Pavarottis out there, I'll guarantee you that. And then we have a fourth term, Kerux. K long E R U K S. Kerux. And Kerux means the herald of the king. The Kerux was the one who announced the policy of the king. It comes from the verb keruso. Looks like that in the Greek, K long E R U S S long O, Keruso. And Keruso means to proclaim the plan and the policy of the king. Now, when the king of all kings and lord of all lords, is absent, and he is absent, following his death and burial, we have Jesus Christ's resurrection, ascension, and session. at the right hand of God the Father. Now, when the king is absent, then the herald, the Kerux, now carries the authority of the king and announces the policy of the king. And he does so through his consistent and faithful communication of the Word of God. Now, the term we have in our verse is presbyteros. So far in verse 1, we have one word. The Apostle John introduced as the presbyteros, the old man, the commander, the commanding officer. Next, we have the dative singular of kuria, modified by the dative singular adjective eklektos. K-U-R-I-A. Kuria. Kuria is a very special and a very rare word. It's only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle John in 2 John verse 1 and in 2 John verse 5. One, kuria is the feminine form of the noun kurios for Lord. Kuria is the feminine form of the noun kurios for Lord. Two, kuria means a very honorable and magnificent lady. A very honorable and magnificent lady. Three, kuria is a title of nobility. It's a title of nobility. Four, this magnificent lady had a very large house. This magnificent lady had a very large house. Five, her name was Nympha. Her name was Nympha. But the Apostle John, pastor teacher John, gave her a unique, wonderful title, kuria. Turn over to Colossians 4:15. Colossians 4:15. Colossians 4, verse 15. Greet the brethren, fellow believers, who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church, the local church that is in her house. The local church met in Nympha's house. She had a large house. She was nobility, and the local church met in her house. There were, at that time, a lot of the churches were house churches. Six, this magnificent lady is also described by the adjective eklektos. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S, eklektos. And eklektos means elected to privilege. Elected to privilege. 7, she is the honorable, magnificent, elected to privilege lady. She is the honorable, magnificent, elected to privilege lady. And the church at Laodicea met in her home. The church at Laodicea met in her home. And the Apostle John is not only sending this letter to this honorable, magnificent, elected to privilege lady, but also to her children. Her children are winner believers. This is the conjunction chi with the dative plural of technon with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. The conjunction chi is connective chi and technon. T-E-K-N-O-N. Technon means children under authority in relationship to their parents. These are children in relationship to their parents. Autos, the intensive pronoun used with the third person personal pronoun, her and her children. So, corrected translation. The presbyteros, the old man, the commander, to the honorable, magnificent, elected to privilege lady and her children. John has nothing but the greatest, greatest virtue love for Nympha and her children, the whole family. They are winner believers. They have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And John has nothing but the greatest, greatest virtue love for all of them. And the church meets at her house. The presbyteros, the old man, the commander, to the honorable, magnificent, elected to privileged lady and her children. And then the next line, whom I love in the truth. Tells you right there. These are the best. As far as John's concerned, these believers are the best of the best. Well, we'll start there. Whom I love in the truth next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. Well, we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.